Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, guys, another crazy weekend of football games. But there's some sure things out there. UCLA can bet against Miami, so betting can bet against them, and same with the Steelers, depending on what happens to Ben Roethlisberger. And there's one site you can go to check this out. Go to MyBookie and use the promo code ARMCHAIR as we have a first deposit bonus. You put $100, you get $100 back. So go cash in on MyBookie. And also, if you like to bet on fantasy points, or if you even missed the game, you can still place a live bet. Go for it, guys. You bet, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, welcome in another Panther Rants podcast. Vlad Harris here. Happy Monday. Obviously, we had, crazy weekend of games for college. Actually, not too crazy, because there really wasn't any really riveting matchups, to be honest. But, some teams had their come down to earth. We had a whole bunch of them in the ACC, for one thing. And, Big Ten had their... One certain team in the Big Ten had her come to Jesus as well. But we start off with the game that we've been anticipating for, the last several years. Well, actually, last 4 years now. And that's the Keystone rivalry between Pitt and Penn State. Now, Thursday, I was on with the Sermon on Mount Nittany with Tommy Butler. Tommy and I had some... we were talking about the game and the end of the series. And Tommy is from State College. He lives there. He doesn't just go to Penn State. He's lived there. One thing he's told me is about the series itself is, as far as non-conference game, even Big Ten games, the Pitt game has drawn a lot of buzz at State College, more than ever. And even this week, there was a lot of buzz. And we both agree that the series should continue. Obviously, it's not going to for a while. As, it's going to be the same old, where one person says, hey, game should play, and everyone says... Other coach says, yeah, we got 3 non-conference games and we need so many home games and, we just, the Big Ten's starting a cornhole league and, we're having a team and we need 9 or 10 home games because we got to fund the cornhole league now. That's, pretty much the, what sums it up right there. And I think after what we saw on Saturday, I would say even the younger crowd of Penn State, of course the younger crowd of Pitt as well, they got a taste of the game, and hopefully maybe there may be some more added, not so much pressure, but more, I guess you can say pressure because I can't think of any other word. To say, hey, let's bring this game back. It's exciting. And, it's great talk in the office because, Penn State, we work with Penn State grads. Penn State grads were Pitt grads and whatnot. You got relatives that went to the year Pitt or Penn State. And we're having technical difficulties as to speak. as I'm broadcasting, you know, with my phone, and of course it fell. So, if I hurt your ears, my apologies. But yeah, I got a niece that went to, is going to Penn State. She's finishing up. My sister got her master's at Pitt. So there you go. I actually went to Penn State myself for a year. I was a branch campus dummy. I really couldn't get in the Pitt. I'm sure I could went to Greensboro-Titusville, but I wasn't going all the way out there. I ended up at Penn State McKeesport, which is now quote-unquote Greater Allegheny. Which, you know, that little name change pissed off McKeesport a bit, to say the least. It's funny because, you know, Penn State still considers me alumni, and I still get the, I don't know if I get them anymore, but for the longest time, I used to get the letters to buy ice cream from the creamery, because they would basically, they would take orders, and they would drive the truck down to Gray Allegheny, and you can buy some Penn State ice cream. Now, I think you can buy stickies, too. But, right, until then, the series goes on hiatus until something else happens. So, I don't see anything happening in the foreseeable future. I would say we're probably going to have to wait another 20 years, because if they would have got something fixed with this series, they would have done in these 4 years. And nothing's really been done. And that's just that. But as far as the game goes, Penn State took the final game of the series. Actually, they took the last three games of the series. So Pitt started off winning the first game 42-39 in a thriller. And then the next three, Penn State just they swept us in the next three. Two of the games were in convincing fashion, and then the other last one was the close one. As far as the game goes, Pitt overall played a hell of a game. The thing about Penn State is they're very talented. And if you give an inch, they're gonna make you pay. But if you look at the stats, the most telling one for Pitt was the rushing stats. I think I think it was 24 yards on 25 carries, I believe, is what they ended up with. All I know is their rushing yards was in the 20s. They couldn't run the ball for dick against Penn State, because Penn State has a very tough and aggressive defense. Pitt took advantage of that early with that screen to Vincent Davis, where he almost took it to the house. As Pitt early in that game was trying to find ways to get, you know, into rhythm, and by the second half, Pitt couldn't really run the ball. But Kenny Pickett, if anything, may have had his growing up game, as he was spraying the ball around to different receivers. And he was making reads. He was finding the open guy. And he was making big completions. And he had a hell of a passing, you know, his passing numbers against Penn State were phenomenal. And so far with Pitt's offense, once again, they couldn't score in the second half. And that's been their Achilles heel so far, is they can't do shit in the second half. And if you can't score in the second half, then stuff like this happens. But once again, Pitt had their opportunities to score, and well, we'll get to that in a moment. But I feel good about Kenny Pickett. The there still needs improvements to be made, especially in the offensive line. The run blocking, as one follower pointed out to me, they're just not running the ball, and they can't run the ball for some reason. And if they want to survive this rest of the schedule, they're going to have to find a way to get, to run the ball. And if they can, and not to mention that, score points. I mean, because currently right now they got a lot of yards, but just no points. So I like their chances in the Coastal. I still do. I'm not sure if Virginia's going to, take advantage of what they've been given. After what happened with Florida State, I mean, they won, but barely. And if they don't, Pitt still has a chance. Because we're seeing the Coastal already unfolding as we speak, as North Carolina lost to Wake, which was a surprising one, because I thought North Carolina, after beating Miami and South Carolina, would take care of Wake easily. Wake has a halfway. Wake's a decent team, and they may be 8-0 by the time they face Clemson. And so that's just a team that's just coming out of nowhere. I mean, I expect them to be where they're at and be a threat now, but I was pretty high on NC State, but NC State went to West Virginia and got it destroyed. And, of course, Georgia Tech got beat by the Citadel, which shocked the hell out of me. So things obviously are unfolding. But in the Atlantic, it's basically Clemson and everybody else. Nobody's really going to challenge Clemson. Coastal, right now, is still anyone's race. Although Virginia's in the driver's seat. But in the Coastal, it's unpredictable, and we always find ways to make it look interesting. We're kind of like the black and blue division, like the NFC Central, where the Lions, Bears, Packers, and Bucks always beat the crap out of each other. And you can say the same thing for the AFC Central back in the day too, because it was the Browns, Steelers, Bengals, and Oilers. And yeah, same thing. Those guys always beat the crap out of each other. Then the Oilers became the Titans, and the Browns became the Ravens. Then we added the Browns again. It was still a tough place to play, tough division. Defensively, Pitt did a hell of a job, they got the Sean Clifford. They hit Sean Clifford. They did everything they could, and they held him to 17 points. If you take away Journey Brown's long run early in the game, Penn State really didn't do a whole lot against us on the running game. They had around 160, 170 yards rushing, and basically half of that was that Journey Brown run. Take away that, they didn't do much of anything against us. So we have obviously have a really good offense. I'm sorry, defense. Offense, there's talent there. I know people want to fire Narduzzi after what happened on 4th-and-1, but you can tell recruiting has gone better, and there's talent on both sides. Right now, the offense just has a lot of yards. They just need to score points. So there's a lot to feel good about. Now, let's get into that 4th-and-1 play. I rewatched it. At the time, I was with my son at the park. He wanted to go play, and that's just how it is. Football takes a back seat. get the kid out for some nice air and let him run around. So obviously I saw the threat of Taysier Mack when he got to the one. And Taysier Mack had a hell of a game. 12 catches, 125 yards. I mean, Penn State was keen on French, but guys like Taysier Mack tipped in there, Matthews, Nakia Griffin-Stewart had a big-ass catch on fourth down. I mean, receivers made plays and just became, you know, we get to the goal line, we can't make a play, and of course, the one play that stood out to me was the third and one, or third and goal at the one, where Pitt went play action, and they had the secondary dumbfounded. The guy was open. The problem is we couldn't block the Penn State defenders. If we can give Kenny Pickett at least another 2 seconds, or 1 second at least, to throw that football, we're tied at 17. But on fourth down, we opted for the field goal, which pissed a lot of people. Actually pissed a lot of people off. You know, when Clay Travis comes out and even mentions about how dumb it was, you know it was a bad decision. And of course, Kessman does what Kessman does best. He banks off the post, and that was it. You know, personally, if I'm the coach, I don't know, I would have made him walk home after that. I mean, the guy's been here how long now? And he's still pulling this shit with these field goals? I mean, someone's got a lot of fire under him, because this crap has to stop with him shanking kicks. And I'll move on from that. As far as the call goes, you know, Narduzzi said you need 2 scores to win. And I get what he's saying. If they would have tied it, they would need another score to win. True. But you're a 70-point underdog at Penn State. You gotta do something. Pound it in somehow. Figure it out. Get the ball in the end zone. And I think Narduzzi's line of thinking was he felt really good about his defense. So he kicks the field goal and then hopes for a stop. And then they get the ball back and hopefully they can win it. But regardless, they were gonna need a touchdown to win. And of course, since the field goal failed, they were gonna need a touchdown to tie it. So either way, the way he saw it was, it didn't matter. They were going to need 2 scores to win it anyway. Which is true, but if that's the case, why just go for it? And if you miss it, you're pinning them back at their goal line. Which they end up being, you know, anyway, and they end up punting, and Pitt did move the ball, and they got to where they could get a Hail Mary, and it just didn't fall. But the Journey Brown 85-yard run, we'll go back to that. That was like an amazing sequence of things. Pitt had Penn State on the ropes at their goal line. Journey Brown takes it to the house. The next play, Pitt gets an interception, and Paris Ford, I believe, almost took it to the house. And then we got flagged for pass interference. It comes back, and then Penn State scored. I think Penn State scored a touchdown, I think, a few plays later. That was pretty much one of the greatest of Pitt sequences in history. I mean, that was just vintage Pitt right there. But, you know, as far as Narduzzi's post-game conference, press conference was concerned, I wasn't buying his crap. This game was like the, even he said it was like the Super Bowl. This game was a big deal for him. It's been, because if it wasn't, he wouldn't have had his players under wraps the entire week when they weren't talking to the media. He really wanted this game, and unfortunately, I mean, if you saw the look on his face after the shanked field goal, you know, it just looked a doom. I mean, so I'm not buying, you know, his, what he's saying. He wanted this game more than anything, and he knows it. And now they go to Central Florida next week. Well, actually, they'll be at home. But hopefully the ferocious defense brings true. Because Central Florida's on a big high right now. And Pitt obviously should be up for a revenge. Because they're another high-powered offense as well. And for those of you who went to the Penn State game, and for those who maybe were listeners who went to Penn State, because, you know, I did some work with Tommy, with a certain amount of Nittany. Dave and Andy's are the creamy, depending on what your preferences. Maybe closed. And, you know, you're sniffing another. They may not just get that banana split they've been craving. But you got something better for them, for your significant other. And that is Blue Chew. Go to BlueChew.com. Enter the promo code Armchair. And you can get the first shipment free on us. Yeah, you have to pay the $5 for the shipping, but still the entire order is free on us. It's got the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but it's in a chewable pill. So you take it, and by the time you get home, you may give them that banana split they've been craving. But just make sure you pick up the stuff at the store for later, so you can make it for them when you're done. You really think I was going to, you know, insinuate something else? Come on. Get your mind out of the gutter. Go to BlueChew.com and check it out. Alright. Now, I'm going to miss doing these Blue Chew ads, you know, when they're over. I mean, they're fun. Alright, looking around the rest of the college football, as there were some, some fun games. Friday we saw Houston and Washington State play. The Cougs came up short. I thought it'd be a more high-scoring affair. The first half, it was pretty low scoring, and yeah, I mean, the over on that was 74.5 at the time, and everybody was trying to pound that, and it didn't work. And plus, people were trying to pound the spread on Indiana, Ohio State. People were really convinced that the Hoosiers were going to cover that game. I mean, I understand that Indiana's given Ohio State scares in the past, but they're Indiana. That was when Kevin Wilson was still there, and he was treating his players like a sweatshop. Now, not so much. We saw Maryland lose to Temple, and of course, people were pounding that pick as well. And I saw their previous meeting, and you know, Temple beat them 35-14, and I decided to stay away from that. West Virginia knocked off NC State was a surprising one. And if we go to the rest of the ACC, there were some pretty obvious ones. You know, Miami knocked off Bethune-Cookman. Where you saw a walk-on running for a touchdown. Wake took on NC State. Clemson destroyed Syracuse, which was an obvious one. Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts continuing his tear as they tore up UCLA. And UCLA just looks really bad. I mean, I'm not sure what's going on, but they just look really, really bad. And if we look at the rest of the ACC, Kansas knocked off Boston College, which is another big surprising one. And I think they were a 21-point dog in that one. And, you know, Boston College got to a slow start. And, you know, Les Miles with a big win for Kansas. I mean, that's one of their biggest wins in recent history. Because they haven't had much to talk about since they fired Mangino. They brought in Turner Gill, and that fell apart. Because Turner Gill took Buffalo to the MAC title. And it just didn't work out at Kansas at all. Then they followed up with by hiring Charlie Weiss, which I don't understand that one at all. And Charlie took it even more further down. Furman, Virginia Tech, that went to the bitter end. Tech wins that one by 7. Citadel knocks out Georgia Tech. Louisville beats Western Kentucky by 17. Duke knocks off Mid-Tennessee 41-18. I thought that game would be close. And Virginia knocks off Florida State 31-24. But as far as the rest of the top 25 is concerned, there wasn't really a whole bunch else to talk about. We saw Maryland lose to Temple. Ohio State won that one, where they beat the crap out of Indiana like usual. Alabama beat South Carolina. And they, you know, South Carolina barely covered that 25 points. Central Florida beats the crap out of Stanford. And I don't know, Stanford, I think they're in for a really down year. I think they're just, you know, when you take a team that's really fast like Central Florida against a really, you know, slow team like Stanford, which they are, bad things obviously happen. Iowa and Iowa State, that game seemed to go on forever. And Iowa State had a chance at the end, but of course there were some issues with the punt returner and one of his players. Michigan State got knocked off by Arizona State 10-7. It shocked me because I like Michigan State in the Big Ten contention. I figured they had their offense worked out, but it doesn't look like it. BYU knocked off USC, and that's the second week in a row that BYU's won in overtime. And that was a big one because USC came off a big win over Stanford, but looks like that win was just fool's gold. But other than that, you guys, there wasn't a whole much else that went on in terms of the top 25 and around college football. It was a pretty underwhelming type of weekend. And as far as the NFL goes, I watched a little bit of that, and bad weekend for quarterbacks. I mean, Roethlisberger made a throw, and looks like he hurt his elbow, but we'll have to wait and see what the details on that is. And, of course, Drew Brees hurt himself. And we're not sure what happens there. I mean, both those guys are pushing 40. I think Drew Brees is 40, and Ben's pushing 40, I think. And we're just at a point now where these guys are their age and they're not as durable as they once were. And a lot of people are saying that Ben looks a lot slower, and I really haven't watched the games to notice that yet. I mean, I watched the New England game, but New England's just a really good team and they're on another level than anybody else. You know, but a lot of people say he just doesn't look like himself. I don't know, guys. But if you look at the AFC North, it's basically Baltimore, and we'll figure out. We'll learn more about Cleveland tonight. But Baltimore's off to a start. I mean, Lamar Jackson, you know, he's been playing really well. I mean, yeah, you can say his first two opponents haven't really been that too overwhelming. He's had Arizona, although Kyler Murray played a hell of a game as well. He's going to get there. But, you know, they walloped the Dolphins in week one and they beat the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, sure, you can talk about the competition he's played, but he's putting up the numbers against those guys. And if he wasn't, then he'd be in really deep crap. And right now, Baltimore obviously has the inside advantage on that. You know, the Bengals got destroyed by the 49ers, which kind of shocked me as well, but it's, you know, it's been weird. I mean, the first few weeks, I think, in this college football and especially NFL, they're all going to be weird. But right now in the AFC, it's doing with everybody else. And NFC, right now, it's, you know, obviously Rams are picking up where they left off. And but look for the Eagles. You know, they did lose a heartbreaker last night, and the win was in their grasp, and the receiver that was open dropped the ball, but they still had a chance at the end, and it just didn't work out. So I don't know, guys. As far as the game, you know, as far as it goes, we just have to keep hoping for the best, and I'll see you guys later this week. I may be in Pittsburgh on Wednesday, but I'm only gonna be here for about. I'm only gonna be there till Saturday. I'm leaving that day. I'm leaving Saturday morning to come back to Houston. I'm just gonna go and as you know, I mentioned on Twitter about my friend who passed away. You know, we've been friends for 30 years. I've known him since I was 30. You know, since I was 3, and we met each other just by playing. You know. You know, we all lived next to each other, and we went and we introduced ourselves, and then we played. And you know, it was like, you know, that day when, you know, he died that morning, the morning of the Penn State game. You know, my kid was playing, and you know, another kid came by and introduced himself, and they played. And you know, it kind of put, you know, a little bit of a, you know, good feeling to a you know, bad time. But anyways, guys, I'll let you have your week. Talk to you later this week. Have a great Monday. Hail to Pitt.